Pickaxe.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Triforce podcast.
We're back.
That's right. With Sips.
Yeah.
Fresh from the Canadian wildlands.
That's how bad.
Empyrean Flax.
Hello.
Who hasn't been away.
He's
not been away to Canada, that's for sure.
That's true. I want to know everything about Canada. I want to know about Portage. I want to know about poutine. Ugh. I want to know about people being polite.
Right.
Everything beginning with P.
Okay,
all of that stuff.
The three P's were sorely missed. I can't really eat poutine because of the beef gravy. It's too cold for portage. And Canada's changed a lot in the last 10 years. People aren't as polite as they used to be. So
fucking hell.
We really missed out on all of the P's.
All the highlights.
Yeah.
So first of all, let's just keep going with those. First of all, Do you really have to? Is it too cold to portage? I think you should have manned up a bit. Second, surely there must be modern vegan, vegetarian.
There is.
You can get beef gravy without the beef.
We found out too late that there was.
Too late. So you didn't even. Okay, and then the third thing is, I don't believe it. Come on.
They legalized marijuana, so politeness has gone out the door and has been replaced by...
I don't think being high makes you rude, does it?
Oh, dude. No, I'm just joking. It's not that bad. Well, it's the same as it's always been. It was a nice trip. It was good. Like I said, I hadn't been back for quite some time. The last time I was in Canada was for an overnight stay. One night only in Ottawa for a funeral. So I didn't really get to relive any of my childhood. I didn't get it to go on any trips down memory lane or anything like that. It was just
is that
like
where you grew up? Memory Lane.
Yeah, Memory Lane was the name of my street. Yeah, it's a real good one.
On Nostalgia Street.
Nostalgia Street, and just down longing and yearning for your old high school girlfriend's way.
That's on the Roasted and Spectacles estate, isn't it?
That's the one. Yeah. So it was a good trip. It was nice. We had like a mini reunion. A whole bunch of dudes that I grew up with made the trip up. A lot of people that I was friends with and still am friends with and grew up with don't live in Ottawa anymore. They've dispersed. So some of them live in Europe, funnily enough. And then a lot of them have moved to places like Toronto, Montreal, which are more exciting than Ottawa.
Yeah, Ottawa is just pretty
more exciting lives. Yeah, so they've moved. But they came up for the weekend, and we had some nice parties and stuff. It was really good. I saw my parents. I saw my brother. We rented a car, so I was able to drive around and see stuff that I haven't seen for a long time and park behind schools that I haven't parked behind for a long time and got to smoke some weed while I was there as well. It's pretty good. And
the priorities.
It was a really nice trip. My kids have never been on a long haul flight before, so that was new and exciting, and they liked it. They liked watching TV in the little TV that you get the seat in front of you, like on on most aircraft nowadays. So they enjoyed that, and they were pretty good, you know, considering when we traveled, we were awake for sort of like 27 hours or whatever. They coped pretty well. There wasn't like any big meltdowns. There wasn't any problems at the airport or anything. It was good. It was smooth sailing. It was an icebreaker. So now we can
holy crap.
We can venture further afield as a family unit. It'll be great.
Did you get any benefits from having the kids along? Were they sort of nicer to you, or did they put
you get to board the plane earlier than everybody else, because I guess people just don't like kids and how long it takes people with kids to do stuff, so they let you board earlier.
I feel like they are dealing with basically a ticking time bomb.
Pretty much. Yeah, which and you can't like, actually say in an airport.
No, you're not allowed to say the word bomb. It's
universally acknowledged that that's the case. And going through security lines as well, everybody seems to. If you've got kids, they just usher you off into like a nice empty queue with your own security thing, because again, it just takes you for fucking ever to get through and convince your kids to walk through the metal detectors and stuff like that. So that's always fun. So you get a couple of perks. They don't make up for the fact that you're traveling with kids, but you know, there's still perks nonetheless. It's nice. So.
Did they manage to like come to the parties? Did they share the weed?
No, they didn't. They really wanted to. Like every time I was about to go, my kids would look at me and I could see like the marijuana leaves forming in their eyes, and they'd say, mm-hmm. "Dad, where are you going?" And I'd be like, "You know, I'm just going.
Daddy's got to take his medicine.
Got to go do my medicines." And yeah. But no, it was really nice. It was a really good trip. I'm glad that we did it.
Did anyone else bring their kids? Like, did anyone? Are any of these other guys from school dads? Like,
my best friend growing up is a dad, but he lives in Montreal now. So he drove down like on the weekend, but he didn't bring his family with him because his whole family were going to be coming down. Like the next weekend anyway for Easter. Mm. So they're like, oh, we don't want to do the trip twice.
Yeah,
so he's like, okay, I'll just go by myself, which was fine because
makes sense. You
know, we could go and party and stuff. It was pretty good. So, but no, none of my other friends have bothered to have kids.
Do you ever think about moving back to Canada? Is that something that you'd ever think about doing? Or
You know, when I first moved over here, I thought about it because I was, you know, like when you live somewhere and you're used to the culture and you're used to like how things are and how like, you know, living and accommodation stuff is set up. You move somewhere else and you're like, ah, fuck, I wish I could just go back there. It's easier. I understand it better and blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
So like
at first I considered it.
But now that I've been here for like 15 years, it's like fucking out of the question. Like I could never move back to North America. Like I'm too used to being close to Europe and British culture and everything. Like I would not want to live anywhere else now. But that's probably because I'm like almost 40 and you know, I'm content and I've settled a little bit and stuff. Right. So you know what I mean? It's different.
Yeah, you've started to put down roots.
I've put down big roots. That's right.
Yeah.
I've thought about moving back to the States. We almost did it about 15 years ago, and then we were like, I just imagined, like you said, you're used to a way of life and people and the culture of the UK, and I was like, can I go somewhere where there isn't really a sense of going for a Sunday roast in a pub?
No.
You know what I mean? I'm like, that is something I really, really enjoy, and I can't imagine never doing that again.
Oh,
and
boy.
Everywhere you eat, just being one of a few chains and stuff like that. I don't know. I feel like America's... it's a little too money-centric for me. Everything seems to be about money. Everybody seems to be driven by money, even though all of us are in a way.
I know what you mean.
In America, I feel it's too much. You know what I mean? It feels like it's everywhere.
Yeah, it's just a different culture, isn't it?
It is.
They just do things differently.
The politeness thing is also, I think the people think Canadians are polite because it's in comparison to Americans, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, comparison to... Brits, we're quite polite generally. Like, we're quite nice. I think it was Easter bank holiday weekend just passed and it was sunny. Like, we had like 3 or 4 days of sun. For some reason, the heavens opened and blessed us with like 3 days of weather that was enough.
It was beautiful.
Oh my God. Yeah. We came back. It was like summer. It was awesome.
Walking around, though, it was like a sea of the whitest skin you've ever seen. You know, like it was like someone had let loose a load of vampires.
Yeah. And one day of British summer, basically.
Everyone had their shirts off in Queen Square, and there were people doing barbecues, and there were people like playing volleyball.
Yeah.
It was really like the quintessential, like people just came out of the woodwork and everywhere was packed. You know, I walked through in the evening and there was just a bunch of people singing and playing their bands and stuff. They weren't busking. They were just like people playing in the middle of like kind of the center of Bristol, like various areas. It wasn't just necessarily in the nice areas, but like, you know, it was very camaraderie. I don't know. It was very kind of sense of community, like sense of Britishness. And of course, there's always like going to be a few weirdos around and homeless people and drunk assholes and football fans. And, you know, I don't know. But you know it. That's the thing. I think I've talked about this a little bit before. Like, I think if you weren't like part of this culture, it would feel very scary. Much like it is in America. Whereas I think that when we go to America, because we're not used to it, what everyone else sees as part of the furniture, we see as a bit, we're a bit on edge by it.
An existential threat.
Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah, when the weather's nice in America, they go and they do much the same. They have barbecues and stuff, but they also shoot guns up in the air the whole time too. So.
Like an Arab wedding. Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. So like, it's a little bit different. You know, it's can get very intense very quickly.
We had two barbecues in 3 days. Like I was like breaking out straight away. Like boom, let's go.
Do you have a big garden barbecue like dad style?
Yeah. Do you have like a big fire pit or is it like one on wheels?
No, we don't have room for that. Instead, I have.
Do you light it or is it like a propane tank? Do you have propane?
It's coals. It's proper coals.
Okay, good.
So
good.
I use a mixture normally if it's a big barbecue. You get these awesome little bags that are like pre-wrapped in paper and the whole thing's been soaked in paraffin.
Yes.
Just light the corners, bingo. But what I do is, it's amazing, right?
Oh, I fucking love them. I can't live without them. I don't barbecue without them. They're so good.
We ran out. We used them all up. I had one left. So I used it on the first barbecue. Second barbecue, I was like, all right. So I just started hunting around in my shed. And honestly, it's like a magical den. You go in there, you think, I really thought I had some coal. And you go in there and bang, there's a bag of coal. It's like a bag of holding from Dungeons & Dragons. You know, you just reach into the shed and pull something out. So I'm trying to get these coals going. It's kind of getting there, but it's taking a while.
You've got to have a lot of like kindling and paper and stuff to get.
So I had it in a nice pyramid. I have my kindling. But the only thing I had was like paper. And it doesn't burn for long enough or hot enough to really get the coals going.
No, yeah, that's why you need some wood on there.
Right, or some of these little firelighter tablets, it's like styrofoam, but
it's
really
good
stuff.
I have some of those too, and anytime I've ever tried to have a barbecue with that setup, it's always, it's too much. Like, I don't think the coals burn hot enough, but I'm so desperate to get...
Dad zone.
Yeah, I know. I'm so desperate to get the fake meat onto the barbecue that I put it on, and then when we go to eat the fake meat, the burgers, it tastes like... It tastes like coals. It's like
okay. Well, I've found that it's a way to get the coals going, and then I wait until they're properly ashen, like on the outside. They're all nice and ashen. There's a glow.
They're white,
right? Yeah. So that I spread it out, and then it was great. And it was just I didn't think I had any left. Go to the magical shed of holding, reach into a bag, bam. Of course, I've still got some. From last summer.
It's so easy for me to picture this scene, though, you know, because it's so associated with definitely like my childhood as well. The barbecue is very quintessentially English that on a hot day, you know, your dad goes out there and it's the, you know, he's got his shorts on for like the first time.
Had a cider in my hand, getting my fucking
exactly.
BBQ.
And he's like,
you know what kind of dad I am? I'm the shorts all year round kind of dad now. This year, this year especially, I have worn shorts. Like all year so far.
Wow.
And track shorts as well, which is even worse.
Wow.
Like, yeah. Sometimes even when I go to town, I wear them. I'm just like, well, I'm done. I don't even care anymore.
You're that guy. I know you. There's a couple of you guys around I see around. Yeah.
I drop my kids off at school in the morning, and every once in a while, like I get like a knowing nod from another dad who's wearing shorts and stuff. And one time, a guy who normally wears shorts.
Like you're going for a jog, but you're not.
It's like almost snowing out, and I'm wearing shorts and a coat and like a hoodie underneath. And because I'm done. I just can't be bothered. And one time this guy who normally always wears shorts, I think he's like a delivery driver or works in a warehouse or something. So, you know, like those guys tend to just wear shorts all the time anyway. He wasn't wearing shorts. It was that cold out. So this guy decided not to wear shorts. And he actually stopped me in the road and he's like, oh, you're still wearing your shorts? I was like... Fuck yeah, I am.
Like, it's almost like a competition.
Yeah.
He's like thinking, fuck, I've lost the shorts competition.
No, you know what I think it was? I think he was going to leave the house with the shorts on. And Flax, you could probably sympathize with this. And his wife said, it's so fucking cold out there. Go and put some pants on immediately.
Right.
And he was like, okay. So he had to reluctantly wear pants that day. And then when he saw me in my shorts, he was jealous.
Yeah, his legs were all sweaty.
Yeah.
Or it might have been like a secret society of short wearers. But he's like, I didn't get the memo that we were shorting today.
Oh, yeah, it was like the like the Masons or like the stonecutters or whatever, but where the short
wearers. Oh, shit, there's
wearers.
The door. Hold on.
That's all right. I don't run cold enough to like manage shorts, honestly, Sips. Like I can't do it. I can't deal with shorts. I'm always like,
I love
my
them.
Legs.
They're so comfortable. Holy crap. I love just wearing shorts. You know what?
Just the freedom to let your like just the air flow up.
Once you take away half of the pants and you're with shorts, you kind of get to the point where you're like, maybe I don't even need to wear shorts or underpants either. Like you can see how people like really like just being nude, you know, thousands of years ago.
Right.
Like it is very liberating, you know.
So, like, so often, Sips, you are just thinking as you have shorts, just you're dreaming of taking the pants off under the shorts and wondering if people
and
will
the
know.
Shorts too. I'm sort of. We have to be getting closer to accepting people just walking around fully nude in society, right?
Like, I think this. You are approaching that age when, for some reason, a switch in your head goes off and it's actually. Do you know what I could? I could be a nudist. Yeah.
I feel like it's a lot of hassle. Having,
I see, like, I could see you with like a handkerchief with little twists in the corners on your head, sitting on a nudist beach. You know, that's
it's
the only thing you're wearing.
It's always the people who have no business being nude who want to be nude as well.
That's
right.
Like,
you fucking never see, like, Liz Hurley walking around nude. It's always like,
you do, mate. Someone linked
Liz Hurley's
on Twitter. Too.
Overweight grandma walking around nude instead.
Yeah, it's always like a big red guy with a red face, like a big gut, and his
like,
wife
like fucking
with like a
Randy
huge
Bo-Bandy belly sticking out and stuff. Like, fuck.
You know what? I was talking about married life and everything. I was thinking about this morning. Why didn't Al Bundy want to have sex with Peg?
Yeah, Peg was
okay,
smoking,
first of all,
actually.
Like, let me stop you there.
That was
I need
a wig,
more info
by the way.
On who Al Bundy is. And
Peg's hair wasn't real in that. Did
Are
you know
for
that?
Real?
What yeah, is it? Yeah, I am.
Hang on.
Yeah,
it's
a big wig.
Was it really?
A big old wig, yeah.
Oh, well, you know, the character was still hot.
Yeah.
God damn, I was like, why isn't he having sex with Peggy all the time? She's literally saying, Al, come and make love to me. And he's just like, no, Pig. Like, I don't get it.
Because he was like a fucking shoe salesman. He was like that. It's
yeah, but
true
this is
life.
The joy. He gets from life is he gets to
no,
have sex
he,
with Peggy.
He doesn't, though. That is how discontent works. Everything that used to be nice and fun to you ceases to be because you're so miserable, right?
Maybe.
That's how it works.
Either
and
way,
so,
I would have. He's crazy. Al,
well,
you're
would,
crazy.
I would have too.
And Fran Drescher on the nanny as well.
Okay, I'm having to look up what show this is because I've never seen it.
You've never seen Married with Children before?
No, I'm just slightly too young. Guys,
Pig.
259 episodes.
Yeah,
it was on for.
I know.
Holy shit!
It was fucking on
it's
forever.
Massively famous.
It's such a bad show, but yeah.
I remember watching it a lot as a young.
Yeah, of course, there was nothing else on. It was TV back then. It was,
I mean,
like,
fucking
things.
American TV is still the same. When we were over there, holy shit! I don't know how they do it. I don't know how you find shows to even watch. Like, how do you people know where to watch shows? Like,
yeah,
over
like
here it's so easy.
Channels.
There's fucking four channels. Like, you find something and you put up with it. But over there, there's like a million channels. And holy shit, the fucking infomercials are crazy as well. Like,
the ones
they have
for
not
medicine.
Changed
Those are the ones
since
that blow
the 1980s.
My mind.
It's always that same American guy. He's like, he sounds like he's like 80 years old. And he's like, oh, they're just so creepy and weird and like I don't know.
Do one.
And they're on every
do one
channel.
For the Triforce podcast.
I can't even
advertise.
Do it. It's like they're just the stuff they advertise is so bizarre too. It's always like that. You know, like in America, like especially out in the suburbs, people have a lot of disposable income and they're bored, I guess, and they buy like lots of weird fucking doodads for their home and garden and stuff. So like there's like gigantic market, like it's like that in the UK too, right? With like home base, and whatever. But it
I
just
mean,
seems to be
QVC
more prominent.
Shopping channel and everything. We got
it
channel.
Seems to be more prominent over there.
It does,
somehow.
Yeah.
And so you just get like these weird commercials where it's like, you know, it's like this very specific stepladder for a very specific thing in your garden, but they sell it to you like it's a must-have item that you would just end up storing in your shed. Because you probably have like fucking 20 acres of land or whatever. So you have like you know, a big shed in the corner of that.
Maybe that's it. Americans have a lot more space, and you got to fill. If you have space,
yeah, you have to fill that space.
Yeah, like if you build more roads, more people drive on the roads. It doesn't alleviate traffic. It just means more cars. So maybe you have more space, you have more crap.
Yeah,
I could totally see the allure of that, though. Having like that's a very American and Canadian sort of self-preparing kind of, you know, survival attitude. Yeah.
They're good at that. Bunker.
Talking of prepping, I watch a YouTube channel for this guy who does reviews of rations.
Oh, God.
I think he's called MRE Steve, I think is his name. That's not the channel name, but if you look for rations and stuff, you'll find his stuff. He's brilliant. He's very, very cool guy. He gets these old ration packs from like the fucking 40s and opens them up and eats what's in there, but it's not in a gross way. So like,
oh, I've heard of,
you know,
this
he'd
guy,
be like,
yeah,
oh, this chocolate's, it's got a lot of bloom on there, it's looking a little pale, but let's give it a try. And he'll try and go, oh well, that's one of the worst things I've ever eaten. It's great. And he says, he'll open up the pack, he goes, all right, let's see what we got here, all right, let's get this onto a tray. And then it cuts and all the food's neatly laid out on a tray, and he goes, nice, like every episode. And I always wait for the, let's get this out onto a tray. I don't know why, but I love the way he says it. It's his stuff is great. Anyway, I've watched like all of his videos, and today we're going to be reviewing a 1995 Lithuanian Army MRE. Okay. And he like opens it up, and he's got some kind of biscuit here, and got like a little chili. All right, yeah, we'll try that. And he's got like this self-heating thing. So you just pour water in and give that a little shake and set it to one side, and it steams and boils, and then you open it and the food's fucking cooked. So I was like, I've got to try this. So I ordered a couple of MRE packs on the internet this morning. I'll let you guys know what they're like.
Well, are you going to make videos of yourself trying them out and stuff?
No, I mean, Steve does like, it cook so them much up better. He does it already. He's done these before. What's the point? Somebody else did.
What is it? Oh, meals ready to eat. Is that what they are?
Yeah. Well, are you saying that there's no room in the market for another contender? Like, you're just going to give up that easily?
Well, he's a good looking young guy. He's in great shape. He's got that great voice, and he knows what he's talking about.
Well, you're a bad looking old guy. That can be your unique selling point.
You don't need to, just because someone else is doing it, doesn't mean you have to get involved. You know, you could take joy in other people's stuff. Like, I bought some of these MRE things for when we went on the camping day, and we went and did the paintball thingy shoot, don't starve, think, whatever, with Hat Films. I did it a while back. It was for a brand deal. And I bought a bunch of these things that I had a couple, and man, they were all awful, everyone that I had. But I think it's because I had like the veggie ones. Do you know what I mean?
Lame
bean and rice burrito or something. Ugh.
You know what though, like, you say that they're awful, but the alternative is, like, if you ever watched, did you guys watch that documentary about the First World War, the Peter Jackson one?
Yeah, where,
you know
it was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was really amazing. But did you see like the bits where they were like taking and boiling water from no man's land to make tea and stuff? And
so
they'd boil up, the water, and they'd have like a fucking like green film forming at the top that they'd have to scrape off the water before they could use it to drink tea and stuff. That's before you had like emergency rations and stuff, right? That's what you would have to do. So, you know, maybe just like eat them and enjoy them and not take water from no man's land.
It is crazy that we expected people to fight for the country, but by God, we're not going to feed and water them. There's water in no man's land. Just move the dead bodies out of the way and get some water and stop complaining.
Poor fucking guys, man. Holy shit.
That's such a thing that that like soldiers always say, like, that if you give the soldier time to think, they'll start complaining.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, no fucking wonder. It's a miserable job.
Oh, my God.
It's incredibly dangerous, and you're stuck in the middle of a fucking field getting shot at for weeks at a time,
drinking trench tea,
and eating the dead. Like,
did you see the state of some of their feet and stuff too? Like fucking gangrene and shit all over their feet. Fuck.
And their teeth.
Just think how bad people's feet are ordinarily.
I know. Like, you get a bunion or whatever, and you're like, oh my God, this is the worst. But those guys had like fucking black flaps of skin coming off of their feet and stuff. Like,
but all of their teeth, you can see where we got the reputation for bad teeth. Their teeth were, I mean, snaggletooth is a polite way of putting this.
What the fuck is up with that? Is it just like a lack of dentistry generally?
Yeah, there's literally no braces, nothing.
I know, but we're talking about, like, you know, like the sort of like quite early 1900s. Like, are you saying that other countries were like super advanced in the field of dentistry, giving people braces and stuff? I doubt it.
I don't know. Let's have a look. Let's look.
Must
it
just
up.
Be a genetic thing, right?
I think most people, like, without any dentistry whatsoever, will just have kind of fucked up and crooked teeth, right? So, like, I don't know why is it just British people who have this sort of, like, street cred for having bad teeth when, like, probably everybody does realistically have them. But I guess some countries are just, like, more proactive with, like, preventing, like, the crooked teeth through dentistry or whatever. I don't understand.
They had dentists doing braces and stuff in the 20th century, apparently.
Jesus.
And they did teeth straightening in the 19th century. Like 1901, there was an American Association of Orthodontists.
Really?
And they did shit like this. They used rubber and elastics and all that kind of stuff way back then.
Holy fuck.
I know.
Well, you learn something new every day. You really do. It just shows... Oh my god, that's crazy.
I was going to talk about TwitchCon, but if you have something to say.
No.
Oh yeah, tell me about TwitchCon. I missed it, so I want to know. This is the European TwitchCon, right?
This was European TwitchCon. First of all,
right.
At the airport on the way back, I was waiting for my plane and a lad came up, young lad, and he said, Perun? And I was like, hello. And he hadn't been at TwitchCon. He just happened to be in Berlin that weekend with his girlfriend.
Of course.
And he was like, oh, I'm a massive fan of the Triforce podcast. So I said I'd give you a shout out. Joe, shout out to you. Nice to meet you, mate.
Oh, and for doing shout outs, I would also like to do one. Guy in Ottawa at the Beaver Tail stand. Thanks so much for all the free beaver tails. That was great. It was our last day.
The fucking beaver tails.
Yeah, everybody loved the beaver tails. It was awesome. I was standing in line to get some beaver tails, and it was my turn, and the guy was like, what can I get you? It's like,
that's the most Canadian thing I've ever heard.
Three beaver tails, please. And he did this like sort of thing where he, like, you know, like with his hand, like pointed a gun at me sort of thing. But not like in like a showmanship sort of way. And he's like,
right.
My friend knows you, so you get these for free. I was like, what? Your friend knows me. So I looked behind him and the guy who was like, you know, making the beaver tails was like, oh, hey, I love the Triforce podcast. He's like, all right. Amazing.
Wait, really good. I have a question. Is a beaver tail what it sounds like or is it something else?
It's shaped like a beaver tail.
Okay, it's not an actual fried beaver tail.
It's like a flat, crispy donut, basically. It's just right. Like, okay. Yeah. And then you can put like toppings on it. So like you could put like cinnamon and sugar is like the sort of traditional topping, but they've gone nuts. You can like cut a banana and put chocolate sauce on there.
They've gone nuts. They lost their minds.
You can put applesauce on there and shit. Like, if you go to Canada and have beer tail, just get the
traditional
one.
They've ruined it.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's too much. It's too much.
Sitch goes back. He's like, God, they even changed beaver tails. This is too much. We're never coming back. This is ridiculous.
It's the most Canadian thing I've ever heard.
Man, you know what's really weird though? As much fun as I had and everything, at points in the trip, I felt like a little bit. I don't know if you guys have ever had this. Okay, like because maybe you guys live closer to where you grew up and stuff. Like I moved away from where I grew up. So for me going back after like 10 years or even more in some cases, I always like everybody that I knew that lived there, I've sort of like, packed them away into like a time vacuum in my mind. Right. Mm. So like sometimes I go back to these places and like, I drove by like my old school, for example. Cause like I thought, oh, well, you know, it'd be funny to see like if it's changed or whatever. It hasn't. It's just the exact fucking same. Like for a split second, I thought, oh, maybe I could go in there and see Steve. And like Steve's like fucking 40 years old now. I don't even know where he is. But like, you know, in my mind, he's still there. You know, that's the last time I saw him was in that school. So he must still be there just doing the same old shit, right? But there's no way he is. So like part of my trip was like a little bit depressing at times because I'd see these places or I'd drive by like, you know, like my friend's like old house or whatever. And it's kind of sad to think that like, I don't know, like my friend and his family used to live there and now they don't. Mm-hmm. And that's gone forever, right?
Right.
Like
yeah.
It's impossible to get that back.
It
know?
Feels so a little like, bit like it was a different you almost.
There's times where I'd be driving around or something like looking at like my old neighborhood and it's like, oh, fuck, like all these people that I know have just gone and I have no idea where they are or what they're doing.
Like a lot of times,
and I'll never get those times back.
It's jogging your memory as well constantly, right? It's like, oh my God, I remember this place. I remember this thing. It's amazing the stuff that's in your head that you're like, and it all, you don't think about it before you go out to see it, right?
Yeah.
So for example, my mum went over Christmas, showed me an old DVD that a guy had recorded on his VCR of the Onga
Medieval
Fair. A DVD on a VCR? That's not a compatible
system. How did he
system.
Do that? That's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
No, but he'd recorded it on one of these old...
I'm going to Google
it. He'd recorded
it
on one of these old VCR camcorders. Like,
right. Oh, right.
Okay. So now you're making sense.
It was like 2001, 2002. So I'd come back from uni and I was like 17, 18 or whatever. And I was helping out at the Onga Medieval Fair. Okay. And so I had long hair. And I was, so this, I'll maybe show it to one day, but it's like, basically I've got this really strong Essex boy accent and it's really, it's weird. So it's weird for me to see it. But as we were watching this thing, I was more interested in all this stuff that I recognized. And there was a lot of people that I recognized, but because like I was at the medieval fair and a lot of the people were kind of old people, a lot of them had died. And it was like, oh, yeah, that's old Ken. You remember Ken? And I'm like, yeah. And Mum's like, oh, well, he's dead now. Yeah. I was like, what? Okay. It's like, oh, yeah, there's old Alice. She's dead. Oh, that's Roger. He's dead.
He's dead as well, yeah.
So it's like, it was just a fucking litany of, like, corpses. I was like, God, this is a bit fucking depressing. I didn't really realise, like, but it's like, well, you see... you know, you see some World War II footage or some footage of anything older than that, and you realize everyone on that is going to be dead now. You know, like, it's kind of weird to see like that sort of stuff and think about it like that because it's not the instant thing that you go to.
No. It was really strange. But like, yeah, I don't know. I guess like, I don't know if you guys have ever experienced that, but it was a weird one. I don't know. Like, it's probably a combination of being like jet lagged and tired and stuff too. Like sometimes your mind like not plays tricks on you, but you're not like thinking like how you normally would sort of thing.
Mm. No.
So maybe I felt like a bit more sort of like, oh.
It is a jarring feeling going back somewhere that you, to a different life. It's almost like stepping into a different sort of period of time and like trying to, being a different person, you know?
Yeah.
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 You know what? My kid's favorite thing that we did the whole time we were there was we went through a drive-thru at Wendy's
and
we got chocolate Frosties twice and they fucking loved it. I did too. Oh my God. It was amazing. It's so good.
Trip.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I didn't even need to fucking get out of the car. It was awesome. We don't have any drive-thrus over here. So it was a real novelty. Yeah.
Jersey. Oh no, I guess you don't. No, well, maybe that's the business opportunity sips that you've been missing out on. You know, open a Beaver Tails.
I thought about it when I got back. I was like,
drive through Beaver Tails.
I can make a drive through, but it just wouldn't work over here. Like,
well, you got to add a new spin. Drive through donuts and dildos.
You need space for it, though. That's the thing. Like,
and vapes.
It takes up a lot of space. A drive through. You have to have like the big lead up, and then you have to have the fucking, you know, the little thing that you talk into with the menu and stuff. And then you have to drive up to one of the windows and like...
Is it like, it's like going through a car wash, only much more elaborate.
Yeah, that's it.
Was
it
like going on a fairground ride for them, but there was food at the end, you know?
No, not really. I think they just like are obsessed with chocolate. So like...
Oh, I see.
Once like some frosty, chocolatey ice cream thing
sugary
came
mess
into the back seat. They were like, yeah, fuck, this is amazing. But
you know what? I felt so middle-aged the other day when we went to the car wash. Me and Mrs. F, my mum was up for a couple of weeks, left the kids at home. We popped to the shops and then she was like, let's go through the car wash. And I was like, ooh, yeah, let's do it. And we went through the car wash together. That was what we did. That was the thing we did as a couple that day.
Wow.
Was we went through the fucking car wash.
Yeah.
That's a joyous kiddie thing. Yeah. I always remember going through the car wash and the big monsters coming out and giving the old slapping themselves on the
screen. Well, my eldest remembers the last time she went through a car wash very well because I accidentally left her window open a tiny bit.
Oh, yeah.
It started spraying water into it.
She got some hot wax on her face.
She was terrified.
She's been mutilated ever since.
She threw herself into the footwell on the other side of the car. She was like, whoa! I was like, what's happening? There was like tepid water coming through the window.
Oh,
we remind her of it often.
Dirty foam
we're a cruel
water.
Family.
Oh,
so TwitchCon.
Yeah, back to TwitchCon. Sorry about that.
First, like, I went out to Bristol and hung out with the guys a little bit. And then we went to Berlin. It was nice being on the plane with everybody. You know, we had a laugh and got to the hotel, dropped all our stuff off, and we went straight out. And we were like, we were on it that whole evening. Like, we went to the Twitch sort of welcoming party that they had at the conference center, which was pretty big. But if I had a criticism, I'd say there wasn't quite enough to do there, I think, for like the average spectator who was going along. There really wasn't. There was like some speeches to watch and stuff, but there wasn't really much to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there could have been
more. What's the point of it, though? People just go and meet their favorite streamers. Is that
it? I think so. I don't know how many people there were streamers. I would say a lot. Like, I saw a lot. There was a lot of people walking around filming themselves and live streaming them going down an escalator or getting a coffee or whatever. It's like not the kind of shit that we do. But anyway, they were doing that. I was there to hang out with the Yogs guys and meet some people who I hadn't seen in a while. So it was great. I mean, we went out every single night. Like, the first night we went out, we went to the Yogs party. I mean, not the Twitch party, sorry. Went there, had all the free booze, had a chat, played some arcade games, hung out. It was a good laugh. I'm going back to the hotel. I want to get a kebab. Tom tells me, oh yeah, it's one like just across there and to the right. So I go over there. There was no kebab place for like a mile. I found a Five
just
Guys.
Sex shops.
So I got my Five Guys. I'm going to go back to my hotel room. I come back to the bar to say goodnight to everybody. And there's my friend Brian, who I haven't seen in a long time. He used to be on the Dota scene, K-pop, for anyone that remembers.
Dota.
He was a cool guy. So he now works for D&D Beyond. I was like, holy shit, Brian, I haven't seen you in years. So it was like really good to see him. And he was like, we're going to go do karaoke. Oh, he's not from California. He's from Alabama. Are you going to go do some karaoke? Want to join us here? I was like, I surely do. So I was like, shit, I was about to go to bed. I was pretty drunk, but I thought, fuck it. The lure of karaoke is enough. Found a karaoke bar. It was packed with Twitch people. All these people in there, obviously from the TwitchCon, thought, fuck yeah, let's do karaoke. Managed to get ourselves a private room. We were going till like 4 a.m. Just couldn't stop us. We went absolutely nuts. I went to bed. I got home, ate my freezing cold burger in my hotel room and went to sleep. Woke up the next day, went into TwitchCon. I was hungover all day. Went out for a quiet drink with Tom and Ben that evening to the quote unquote Irish pub, which it was in the fucking the basement of a shopping mall.
Nice.
But the reason we went there is because Tom was like, wanted cider. He had to have cider. He couldn't stand just drinking German beer. I love German beer. I'm a big fan of it.
Oh,
but
my
I was like,
God. Yeah. In Germany, you don't need to have cider.
Right.
Like,
well,
we
found
a
place that sold Pulmers and Magnus and Thatchers, so Tom was happy. And it had a smoking room.
Wow.
It was like a room where you could go in there and smoke, which is so alien to anyone from Britain. Like, in Germany, this is the weird thing. You think about Europe as being more advanced than us, right? That's the way I always think when I go to places like Germany and Sweden and stuff. I always think of them as being more advanced and sort of, you know, socially more aware and more cool and progressive and everything. And you go to Germany and there's people fucking smoking everywhere. And you go into this smoking room and everybody in there is smoking like crazy. I was like, this is like going back in time. Like, I can't believe it.
But I think I think fair enough. You shouldn't be able to smoke like in restaurants. You shouldn't be able to smoke in office buildings and stuff. But I don't know why there's like all these laws now where you can't smoke near a building. Like,
right.
What the
I agree. We've gone too far.
And yeah, that's crazy.
When you couldn't even have a private members club.
Yeah.
Like, where you can smoke. So there were like cigar clubs. I think they were fucked over in a big way. Like, if I want to have a bar where you can smoke, why can't I have a bar where you can
It should be
smoke?
A blanket ban. There should be a bar where it's like, this is part of like the things that you can do in our bar. Smoking is one of them. If you don't like it, don't fucking come.
Right.
You know, go somewhere else.
The issue was with the employees who wouldn't have a choice. So their job is to stand there and tend bar and they're surrounded by smoke. I understand that argument. I get it.
Sure.
But having an area where you can go and sit, I don't have a problem with that. I'm pretty sure the bar staff don't have a problem with that. But I'll tell you what, I'd forgotten how fucking smelly cigarettes were. Because for the rest of the weekend,
remember
I smelled
when you used
cigarettes.
To be able to smoke in like nightclubs, pubs,
oh, God, yeah.
Like everything? Holy fuck, you'd get home and you would just smell like a
you
goddamn
stank of it,
chimney.
Right?
Like,
so
oh
my
God.
Coat stank of cigarettes. It's like for the next week. And my daughters were like, oh, it smells amazing. I was like, don't smell the cigarettes. That's a bad thing. So that was
exactly the same in certain places in Japan. Like they used to be all these arcade buildings, like the Sega buildings, this huge arcade in Akihabara, or wherever the sort of arcade district, and all the Plinko, Pachinko, fucking parlors are all just full, or at least used to be, just so full of people smoking that they absolutely stink. And they even now, when smoking is banned, the buildings still just absolutely reek.
Yeah,
and they just can't get the smell
it's
out.
It's a very persistent smell, which is why places didn't smell of anything but cigarettes. Like, that was the thing, is nightclubs smelled like sweat.
The buildings in Japan are all, because they're all crammed in and all, like, they're all kind of high-rise buildings. Like, the arcades are like a five-story building, but they're not that big. You know, it's like a room,
right?
And then there's another one above it and another one above it, and every room above it smells more strongly right. cigarettes because of all the smoke rising up. And the top one is like, oh my God, imagine what they would it's like where they were still smoking, though, because it must have just been full of, like, you know, they need to have like a chimney on the top to like fucking let that shit out.
Have you guys ever been in a nightclub where you've either stayed right to the end and you're literally one of the last people to let out and they turn on all the lights, or
there's the worst.
A fire alarm and they turn on all the lights or whatever?
Oh, it looks so bad.
It's fucking so depressing, isn't it?
That is one of the worst times, because you realize it's like a sci-fi thing where you've been wearing like these lovely rose-tinted goggles, but actually been staying in like this room full of slime and
because the lighting is like king, right? Or the lack of, I should say. And like everything is painted black too, right? Because it just, you know, to hide the, you know, because it's already dark and there's a laser show and smoke and like techno or whatever.
God, you don't want that. You realize the woman you've been dancing with is like a troll.
And you look up and there's always fucking beige ceiling tiles from when you used to be able to smoke in there, and they're all stained with the smoke and stuff. And it's so fucking depressing.
And you realize that the stickiness, the floor, it's just like a big wake up call for everyone. They're like, what am I doing?
Yeah. It's the worst, isn't it?
Until that point, you were having a great time.
Absolutely.
Holy shit. So you were just set out. I mean, the thing about smoking with the guys is that, you know, I don't really go to the pub anymore with them, because they always sit outside. And you'll be fine, you know, Sips, in your shorts.
You know, absolutely.
Last time I was in Bristol, I sat outside the whole time. It was fine.
Yeah. It's like pouring with rain, you know, it's like fucking freezing cold.
Yeah, but you huddle like together
huddled
for
around
warmth,
an
it's
ice
nice.
Cold pine,
yeah,
like
it's really good.
Smoking until the early hours and drinking. It's like, oh, I can't be doing it. I can't hack it.
It was good. So we were in there, and then on the Sunday, like I was pretty hungover at this point. I don't normally go out back to back nights, especially not till 4 a.m. I felt like a real grown up for a while. And then on the Sunday, we went out for this big German meal. Big, heavy, stodgy, like, you know, my favorite kind of German food.
The whole weekend you're just drinking and
it was unbelievable.
Fucking vaping and
it was heaven.
Eating.
It was heaven. I'm eating bratwurst, I'm eating currywurst, I'm eating Bratkartoffeln, and I'm drinking German beer. I'm loving it. We got a waitress in a dirndl serving us. Me and Terps are competing to take pictures with her and stuff like that. It was great. And then afterwards we went out to this bar. And it's so different when you go out in Germany, it feels, or especially in Berlin, is there was no one looking at their watches and saying, yeah, drink up, nothing. We were there till 4:30, and the place was still bumping, and they were still ready to go, and they weren't saying, this is it, we're going to close in a sec. They were just open till whenever. No problem.
Nice.
So we were just, it's so relaxing. And I feel like in the UK, our constant quest is to get as drunk as possible before they kick you out because they're shutting.
That's true.
Whereas in Germany, they're just like, no, you can take as long as you like. And it honestly takes the edge off. I'm not constantly thinking, shit, if I'm still up for a drink and they shut it too, what the fuck do we do next? There's no panic. There's no abandoned ship element where you are every man for himself, try and find an off license. You know, it was literally no problem, just chill. And then when you've had enough and you're knackered, you go home. Easy peasy. It was
great.
Different
culture. You know, that's what they're used to as well, probably. That's just the way it is. And we're used to...
It's just how they do.
That's how they do.
We're used to the drunken kebab run at 3 a.m., you know, and that's just how they do, how we do.
But it was a really good weekend. It was cracking stuff.
I'm glad you had a good time. Did you, I mean, was it just drinking in Berlin? Like,
no,
was that TwitchCon?
No.
Did you do anything else?
What kind of stuff did you guys do at actual TwitchCon?
We did a meet and greet, and it was us. Like, it was me, Terps, Duncan, and Shin. We were sat at our little table, and then there was Soda Poppin, who's like a big Twitch streamer. He was over at his table.
Yeah, he's huge.
Oh, his queue was big. Like, we took a picture. Our queue was like 20 or 30 Noble Yogs fans, you know, and then it got bigger. But at that point that we took the picture, there was very few people queuing for us.
I mean, it's not bad considering one of you out of the four streams regularly. So, like, that's a pretty good turnout, right?
Oh, well, yeah, like, we got a decent number. I mean, you know, we were there for an hour and a half, and at that point, that was when we'd signed everything and chatted to everybody. It was nice. They were all really happy to see us. Lots of people saying that they love the podcast, so that was really nice to hear.
Nice.
Soda was there until, like, 2 a.m.
He almost certainly was.
Just laid back, you know, just drinking,
He was taking his time.
Like,
he was
close.
Having a good chat with everybody.
He's eating bratwurst and whatever, you know, just like doing karaoke on his booth and stuff.
Yeah. And met some people. And then I did the PJ Salt Challenge, where they get 8 streamers up onto the stage and you all have to play these stupid party games. And the winner gets to go to the TwitchCon in San Diego or San Francisco, whichever one it is.
Right.
Did you win?
No, I came essentially joint third.
Right.
Because
were you disappointed? Would you ever go to the one in America? The TwitchCon?
I mean, for free, sure. But I don't want to have to pay for a flight to America and hotels and everything. But I mean, I know that the ticket, you know, was like they'll fly you out there and put you up and everything like that. So we did these games. We played this game called Swordy, kind of like Gang Beasts controls, but you pick up weapons from around this arena and you have to smack each other in the face. That was fun.
Right.
Then we played something, I think it was called Tiny Towers, which is sort of like Tetris.
Oh yeah, but you have to like
competitive.
Yeah, I played that. It's
yeah,
fun.
So you stack up and there's like spells you can cast on your opponents.
Yeah, yeah,
and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah.
That. And there was one guy. None of us have played any of the games, but this one guy who eventually won it had played that game before. He was like, "Oh, I love this game. I played all the time." And I was like, "We lost." So I made it through to the final four, and then I had to pair up with this very sweet Russian girl. She was with me, and then he was with this I can't remember her name. Another girl. So we were paired up and we had to play against each other, and it was meant to be Overcooked, but they couldn't get Overcooked to work. So they said, let's just play Tiny Towers again. And I was like, what? Like, oh, he's getting salty. And I'm like, no, that's just bullshit. Like, that's the guy we've already established.
The PJ
he knows
Salt
how to play.
Challenge. It's fixed.
Yeah.
It was fixed.
He already
knows
how to play that game. So he fucking crushed us, of course, goes to the grand final, and they played this stupid game. You know, the wavy arm guys like that. They sort of fill it with air. That they have outside car places. Like, Marcus says to me, do they have those over here, like the wavy arm guys? I was like, yeah, pretty sure I've seen them. And they had these two either side of the stage that waved like crazy. And it was like a fighting game where you're playing the wavy arm guys.
All right.
And he won. And so he gets to go to
fucking
TwitchCon.
It's like Mr. Tickle fighting against Mr. Tickle.
Exactly. Like it was funny. But
wavy ass arms.
I wouldn't have minded a shot. Why don't we fucking 1v1 Dota or something? You know what I mean? Come on. Roll the game
it's
out that I know.
It's something that you're used to, yeah. I imagine he still beat you, though, at Dota.
No. No one could beat me.
Okay.
Impossible. It
would be really funny, though.
Yeah, that would be funny because ours is great. I'm 7K. Oh, shit. My trump card. Yeah.
So TwitchCon Europe recommended. Would you do it again?
I think for a first time, it was a very smooth event. They didn't have any technical problems, no ticketing problems. It didn't feel like you had to queue for ages to do anything. The food area was nice outside. It was nice and spacious. They had a really nice partner lounge to hang out in that it was big and there was seats, but it could have been a bit more, I think. They could have given us a bit more food because it was quite hard to get food. The place isn't really near stuff. So it's like they had the food stands outside, but I wouldn't have minded a few more beers. Paul Choi was on the beers straight away. Like, we arrived midday and he was like, where's the beers? And he was just on it straight away.
Wow.
But yeah, I think he drank all the free beer. But it was okay. But again, if you were a spectator, I would think there wasn't a huge amount to do. That would be my criticism. But I think for a first attempt, it was good.
I think you have to be up for spending all night out drinking with the lads, you know? And so that's for some people, with other people it's not for.
Oh, it was great.
I mean?
Like,
they don't
do
have legalized marijuana in Germany, do they?
No, but they have amazing beer and sausages and pretzels. I thought I'd made this clear.
Yeah, but it's not fluff.
I mean, I think you've got to enjoy it in your own way. I think that's part of the reason that I kind of, like, I enjoy BlizzCon, but I think I prefer to enjoy it sat on a sofa with popcorn, you know, and like, you know, then I can like turn it, I can pause it and turn it on and off rather than like.
Yeah, unless it was last year's BlizzCon, which was just like not enjoyable under any circumstances.
Well, even if you were there,
if you're there or at home or anything.
I think you just have to learn these things, right? And at different times of your life, I think you want different things. And also, if you've got different groups of friends, they, you know, sometimes you just want to tag along with a guy who's leading the way through, you know, a drunken stag weekend in Berlin as you fucking
it
get
did
wasted.
Feel like a stag weekend in a way. It actually did.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
No,
it
was great.
Good.
I'm just saying the convention itself. I'm not talking about my enjoyment of the weekend. I had a whale of a time. I'm just saying if I'd paid money to go there, I'd be thinking, it could have been more to do. That's what. But again, it was their first go.
What would you give it out of 10?
My personal experience, 10 out of 10. I had a great time.
All right, but like from the point of view of a consumer who would like to go to,
I would probably
one of these
say
things.
5 or 6. I think that they would want to see next year would need a little more improvement with stuff to do.
Right.
But yeah, other than that, it was okay. Yeah, for them, I think.
What would you ask? What would you do? Like, were there a lot of people streaming like from like as you went around like on
their
cams?
Yeah, were
cams,
people
like,
playing games and stuff?
Well,
like, did you watch
one
them
thing.
Play?
So if you like, let's think about Comic-Con. When you go to Comic-Con, you go there, and if you're not willing to spend money, or you didn't come there to specifically meet certain actors and stuff, there's not like a huge amount to do. Like, I always think of it as being like, let's have some games companies in here doing demos of games that are going to be good for streaming, and let's have a guy streaming and you get to play with him on stream, stuff like that. I feel like that should have been much more. They should have done a lot more of that. But it kind of felt like they were maybe it's tricky to think of things to do, but they needed to.
They needed
to think of a few things to do.
Yeah, it's hard to like entertain the crowd and like keep a show going almost, and like just plan something that's kind of and have it hosted well. You know, bearing in mind it's in Germany as well. Like Gamescom's always tricky to know whether you do it for the German crowd or to do it all in English. You know, it's a tricky like thing to do. And also like for streamers to come out, you know, streamers are streaming every day, and they lose like, you know, 4 days of streaming effectively by coming out to this thing, and it feels like, is it for the streamers? Is it for the fans? Like, it just feels like I don't know quite who it's from. I agree that they should do it, and I think that it just needs to find its feet. And I think
it's first effort in Europe. I feel like it could have had a little more stuff, but I don't know. Maybe they couldn't get like big games companies to commit, because who knows? It's like a gamble. It's the first time they've done it. You don't know if it's going to be a success or whatever, but yeah, I think it was, as a first effort, I was very, very happy.
Oh yeah, that's the first time they've done a European one.
Exactly. But the big keynote speech that they gave, the big announcement was that they're going to pay us in 15 days instead of 45. And everyone was like, okay. That's like not very exciting.
Yeah. Well, nothing around like the business side of Twitch is ever really that
exciting,
is it?
But a lot of the time you're like, a con's coming up. Like, we've got your con coming up in August.
Oh,
whatever.
I can't wait.
Oh, yeah,
And it's a small thing, like 800 people can come, and it's going to be a really small event, and we're not going to really...
That's a lot of coming, holy crap.
We don't really know what we're doing, we're just sort of going to wing it, and I'm sure it'll be hopefully not terrible, but you know...
No, I guarantee you that Terps and other people are planning all kinds of shit for people to do. Don't say that we're just going
to
wing it,
to get Sips running like a Beaver Tails
stall,
and like Pyrian, you could do like a bodega stand, you can dress up, get a picture with Bodega, how about that?
I do
like,
that.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, because I sense a wrap up is imminent.
It feels like a wrap up.
Can I get your thoughts on have you guys seen this tweet about undateable superhero movie Watching Men and that guy reacting to the new Star Wars trailer?
No.
Have you guys seen that? Did you see this?
Link it in Discord. I want to see this.
Hang on a second. Let me just find it for you. It's going to take... You might want to just cut this bit while I look for it. Actually, hang on a second. What should I Google? Undateable Star Wars Men. Oh, yeah. He comes up straight away. Okay, let's see. Hang on. These are all YouTube ones. It was off a tweet.
I think I found the tweet. Star Wars and superhero movie obsession culture has revealed a whole new population of undateable men.
Yeah.
Might be worse than men who wear cargo shorts.
Yes. Okay, now watch the video.
Okay.
It's like, you don't have to watch the whole thing. Just watch it for like 15 or 20 seconds or whatever. Just to get a sense of what this guy's reaction to this is, sort of thing.
Look at him.
Are you watching it too, Lewis?
I'm watching a video of him. Jesus, calm down, dude.
Yeah, you should see him reacting to watching the Star Wars trailer, right?
That's what I'm watching.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like tearing up.
Yeah, yeah. And he's going like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like he's like so fucking excited. Yeah.
This is so memeable. Like you can just put
the video embedded in that tweet's been seen like over 10 million times. Like it's crazy.
Damn.
So, I'm torn on the whole thing because I get being like loving something and being passionate about it or whatever. But on the other side, I've never reacted to anything like that in my life.
Right.
Like I've never had what I would consider a very over-the-top emotional reaction to something so kind of that doesn't deserve
ordinary.
It.
It's a movie.
Yeah, like, it's a fucking movie trailer,
I'm very excited
right?
to see movies. Like, I get it. I watch some trailers. I'm like, oh, shit, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But this guy looks like he's been told he's going to live forever.
Yeah, so like...
he is, like, tearing up, genuinely. Yeah. You know, so, it's very hard to fake this reaction.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's faked. I don't think it's actually faked. And, like, so, you know, the whole tweet was sort of like... it's a little bit like mean-spirited because you kind of feel a bit sorry for the guy because like whatever, you know, like he likes Star Wars or whatever, obviously, like to react like that. But it is a ridiculous reaction at the same time.
He's totally it's pretty adorable. He's obviously stoked to be excited about
something. I find
he's
it
just
unsettling.
A sweet little nerd.
Personally, I find it a bit unsettling. Like I've watched it a couple of times now. I find it really strange and kind of weird and stuff. I a lot of people are like, oh, leave him alone, you know, he's adorable, blah blah blah. I don't know if he is, okay. I'm just saying, I don't know if,
right.
I don't know
I
if
don't
I
know.
Feel
I,
like that
I think
but.
It's kind of sweet. I mean, the dude's found it's, something he loves, fair play to him. This is the happiest moment of his day. Look how fucking happy he is.
I'd rather see that than some guy doing a fake bullshit reaction.
Sure.
You know what I mean? For
sure.
The views. Do you
yeah,
know what
of
mean?
Course.
Like, but at the same time,
those fucking React videos.
I agree. Is he somewhere on the spectrum? Very possibly.
I mean, he could possibly be.
There was one of those fucking React videos. There was some streaming guy. It had like 8,000 views. It was like, hey guys, what's up? And it's just his camera, and in the corner, he's reacting to like some fucking video, and he's just eating popcorn and watching it. And occasionally he goes, whoa, and eats it. I'm like, that's not reacting.
Okay,
he
so anyway,
just goes, wow.
so the video, the thing that you just watched, I showed it to my wife, okay, and her reaction to it was amazing. So I show it to her, I give her the context, and I show her the thing, and she's watching it, and she's not saying a word, right? I was just waiting for it. I was like, oh, I wonder what she's gonna say, sort of thing. And then she turns around, she's like, is this fucking for real? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. Like, how do you fake that? Like, he's, you know, he obviously really likes Star Wars or whatever. And she turns around, she goes, if I ever caught you doing that, I would slap you right in your fucking face.
Oh my God.
And I thought, you know what? Fair enough.
Yeah, that's
you know, I probably deserve it.
I married the right woman.
Yeah. You killed me.
She's just got no fucking time for that shit at all.
Oh, fuck. It was so funny.
Well,
just the delivery and everything was just perfect. Oh, goddamn.
Holy shit. Well, there you go. That's our podcast for today.
Yes.
Let's just leave it there. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
We'll see you next week. We'll be back then. All right. Bye.
Patreon.
Bye.